and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast. Oh, Celso's not here. With your hosts. Matt.
And Jenna.
And Megan.
Yay. We're joined by Megan this week.
Yay,
because
that's happy. Celso's, how is that?
What's Celso doing? Celso's got some kind of thing.
I work.
Celso's working.
He works for a company that does news stuff, and it's election night for America, so he's crying.
Probably. I mean, So is half America, as far as I know. This is great, actually. We might as well just get into it. As we record this, it is 9:53 on November 8th, which is election night, as Jenna pointed out, for America.
Oh, God. I'm moving to Canada.
See, that's never a good plan.
Sean Petre, I hope you have a spot available on your couch.
I feel like Chip will tell you. It's just kind of...
Yeah, Chip has some... He's got some grievances against Montreal, so...
I hear Quebec is nice.
No, it's really cool that, like, I have not paid attention to a single lick of media today, and I just won't.
Yeah.
this is all going to unfold with or without
me. Just wake up tomorrow with a new president. It won't even be tomorrow.
Yeah. No, it won't. Of course not. It's never going to be. We're past the point of elections being decided with a single vote. Are you kidding? That's insanity. That would be a smooth change of power from one hand to another.
God.
So, Jenna clearly has been keeping up with media on some level. I don't give a fuck. Although, I did vote this year. Do we all vote this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we all?
Yeah. I did early voting.
Me too. That's part of why I did this year.
Right?
Had I not done that, I probably would not have.
Right.
But yeah, as a friend of the show, Nick Glover, posted on Facebook a few weeks back, you can get an absentee ballot in Minnesota for no reason.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh shit. And so I saw that on Facebook like a month ago and went click. And then had my ballot mailed to my home, where I was able to sit and fill it out while eating, like, beef stew and reading the internet. And it was like, this is the best.
Right?
So it's like, ah, goddamn. And, you know, we talk about
God
elections.
Damn it, phone, yeah. No.
We talk about the elections periodically, because I think this is now is this our second one now? That we've existed?
Presidential, yeah.
I think it might be, yeah. We talk about the little ones in between sometimes. But... I'm all for the idea that it should be easier and easier to vote, because why not? Like, people always talk about, like, the voter turnout, and I don't actually care if you don't vote. I think that's totally a valid choice. But if you do want to vote, I think at this point, we're at the point where you should be able to just do this by text. Like, if you can vote for American Idol at this point by phone, you should be able to vote for president by phone. Like, I think this should be as simple as possible so that if people feel like it, they can. I think you should be able to go, oh shit, it's election day,
yeah,
at, you know, 8:59, and go beep, boop, boop, on your phone and be done.
As, like, somebody in the tech industry, our security is not there yet.
But here's the thing, I would rather have 2 million fake votes than 1 million people that tried to vote and couldn't.
Sure.
You know, like, I'll take it in knowing it's totally not there. I would still take it. Like, but that's, of course, me being
But it's so
guy
easy
who doesn't
to
matter.
Register, like, because I voted in person at a church tonight,
mm-hmm.
and there are people in registration line, and I said, like, the last time I voted, all I had to do is bring in a piece of mail. That was, like,
No. The easiest one that I had, I brought in somebody that lived in my little...
That's what he was saying,
Minnesota is one of the states where someone can just vouch for it, go, no, they're cool.
Yeah.
And they
I just brought in a gas bill, I think, the last time I voted, which was easy, too. Like, I literally stopped in my mailbox and was like, yeah, I've got a
bill.
You
didn't even have to find a person.
No. here we go.
Yeah, I will applaud Minnesota for that, is that they do make it as easy as possible if you just go to a place.
Yeah.
Like, that you literally just need a buddy to go, no, they're cool. It's all right.
And they were nice, like, at the...
Well,
the
and by buddy, you
to.
Mean like an actual registered
voter. Right, but yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Like a registered
that can be
buddy
literally
to go.
Almost anyone walking down the street.
Yeah.
You just need someone to go, like, yeah.
When I had a witness, is what it is, actually.
Can I get a witness?
Get a witness. I basically did that. I went to the Monday night comedy show, like, the night before, and I knew people in the area, and I was like, hey, can I get a witness? And buddy Alex was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I can totally do that. I live, like, a block away from you. I'm like, sweet.
Perfect. Yeah, so it's you know, if you are one of our American listeners, and the majority of you are American listeners, and you have been participating in this process, I hope you wake up tomorrow feeling okay with the results. And, you know, if I may pontificate for a split second, don't worry about it too much if you're not okay with the results. You know what? The world will not melt and destroy itself. Like, we've This is the thing. Have you guys noticed this? That this election is the harbinger of the apocalypse election. Oh, where like
it's the fall of Rome.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, remember how like the last election was that too? Mm-hmm. And then how the one before that was,
too. I don't actually remember that.
And then the one before that was, too. Like, we were talking about this earlier, Megan and I. Like, this is every election that I've voted for as an adult has been, no, but this one, you guys. Look, this is not the one to fuck around with. The world is going to end. Like, you know, everything involving George W. Bush was mm-hmm. the apocalypse. If you didn't vote correctly. I don't
actually remember that.
Oh, that was huge. Because I was a guy working a table at First Ave for Nader during one of those elections. Okay. And, you know, the world was ending. If you thought sure. if we don't all get together behind someone who's not George Bush, the fucking world. Well, and
radio stations were still doing what they did this election, which is let's do these little quips about what country you can move to. Yep. Like everything like, is. Done
I
just that
I
now.
Feel like that has been my entire adult life, and you know, am I the only one that remembers like junior high civics classes? Like, it kind of doesn't much matter who the president is because like we have a system of checks and balances.
And overall, like,
the president doesn't write laws.
Things there are certain key things that the president can do.
The Supremes are a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, being able
the
to
music nominate, act.
Yeah, yes, but yep. like you know, being able to pick the next Supreme is a big deal. Like if, yeah. if you need a new Supreme Court justice, but like people go, well, if so and so is elected, then they want to do X, and I'm like, that's cool. Except they need all of Congress to do that.
Declaring a state of emergency is something that a president can do.
This is true.
And so yeah, those are the kinds of things like. They don't have much power. However, there are certain powers that they have that, like, fucking... Yeah, I'm concerned about that one.
And part of my beef is that, like, the executive branch keeps expanding its powers.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, there's a reason it's a relatively neutered position.
Yeah.
Because we don't want a king or queen.
Wait, what?
All I'm saying is what I've been told. And otherwise we'd still be... an English colony. Like, but yeah, that was kind of the problem. Is that
Canada,
like
England, like
yeah,
light.
England yeah. light. Yeah.
England.
Yeah,
there light. We go.
But that's kind of the whole thing is that like, my understanding is that the president should be so powerless that it kind of doesn't matter who the president is. They're just a figurehead like the Queen of England at this point. And we're getting away from that, which is why it's starting to matter more. But yeah, short of like, you know, there's a veto power, there's a you know, appointing Supreme Court justices, but you know, we've allowed that to slip a little bit as far as what happens, but like it's kind of like it's gonna
except
be okay.
It's still like we were talking like it's horrifying to think that let's say Trump gets elected that he will then go to other countries to represent America
oh,
and
God.
That is what's horrifying
I'm
like
gonna go
he might
now.
Not have direct certain people the president might not have direct power but the fact that they're going to be like I'm going to France and I'm going to speak about all America and you're like no. You don't
know
speak for me.
That.
Like, I don't know.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Things that are actually happening, because I've been paying attention. So I'm going to fill you guys in. Spoilers.
spoilers for this massive news
spoilers.
Event that everyone will know about before this episode.
So as of this recording, and my phone just turned itself off, probably for my benefit, because it's smart.
It's helping you out.
It's a smartphone, and it's smarter than I am. As of my phone shutting off, Clinton had 131 electoral votes. Trump had 197.
That's what I'm seeing right now on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and as of like 20 minutes ago when I was listening to NPR on the way over, the Dow had dropped 2%.
That's also
various
without...
other, and that is a trend that we see anytime Trump is getting more support is that some of the economic strongholds that we have falter a bit.
Sure.
I think that actually speaks to other countries' lack of
confidence in him.
In Trump.
Agreed. Which no one should have confidence in the man. He's a madman.
Yeah, right.
You know. But that's without California reporting. That's without Washington, Oregon, Minnesota.
We have some strong blue states that have, as of yet,
because their polls.
Their polls are so far very, very southern. And that's as
about
expect.
But here's the thing, is that there are a couple of swing states that Trump has gained.
Yes.
Florida is not yet called, but holy shit, I would be surprised if that one actually went blue at this point.
Sure.
I think it was Ohio has just gone Trump.
Yes, according to this map.
So those are the ones that were expected to go Clinton and, like, solidify her lead and her presidency.
Which is weird, because haven't those betrayed the Democrats in every major election?
Not everyone.
I mean, in the last, like, four? Because those are the swing states that made a big deal in the Ohio went blue Bush last election.
Year, but I could be mistaken. Might have, yeah. I think Ohio's been blue for at least one of, if not both, Obama presidencies.
Might have been for Obama, yeah. But I feel like in the Bush elections, those are all the ones that, like, it doesn't surprise me. That
so, right now, 538. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's 538 electoral. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but it's a blog and podcast, political, that does a lot of the algorithms and the calculations and the discussions over who's going to get what. Right now, they're giving Clinton a 50% chance of winning. It's straight up 50-50 at this point, which is not the margin most people expected. Sure. I don't even think most Republicans expected Trump to do this well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the just updated thing on Facebook is 190 for Clinton, 201 for Trump. So okay. It's a closing gap.
Oh, it's because California.
California just weighed in.
Oh,
so.
Thank God.
But who's surprised by that? Come on, it's fucking California.
No,
but wrong. California's got large swaths that are much more conservative than you'd expect, because California's not all Hollywood.
Right.
But just like Minnesota, as a state,
everyone forgets that everything else about the Twin Cities is very questionable as to where it's going to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
we're always labeled a blue state, but I think it's closer than people think.
Yeah.
It's generally very, very close. I mean, we've had Bachman.
For a long time.
But
Bachman Zoidberg.
Wait, I would vote for that. Is she actually? Just to get Zoidberg.
But no. So Minnesota does always go blue, but it's by a very small margin.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we're seeing in this election, if I may pontificate,
we might as well. I mean, what the fuck is everybody going to think about?
So here's the deal: is that you'll hear, and this is my somewhat nonpartisan analysis as much as I can be. Well, we have for a very long time the Democrats have stood for laborers. Mm-hmm. They've backed unions and other blue collar, working class type stuff. DFL, farmer laborer, like it's right there in the name. Unions have become less of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
As the unions have gone away, the Democrats have not been able to maintain that laborer positivity,
I also don't think that they've made an effort to retain that voter base.
No.
You
know, both the Democrats and Peabow actually had a really great post today.
I believe it.
About just kind of complaining about both parties. Mm-hmm. Just being like, sorry, guys, like, Republicans, you started as this, like, you know, fiscally conservative thing, like, blah, 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 and then you became this queer this religious right thing that is kind of, like, batshit bonkers.
Yeah.
And then the Democrats were this whole, like, oh, we're the socially progressive party, and then you became the machine that was politics as usual to get reelected, and it's like, it just, there's not a, if you're a strictly two-party person, there's not a dog in this fight for you. And there may not be, even if you're willing to look at a third-party candidate. Like, that's always
mathematically not, you know, speaking, two parties will, it will always fall to two parties under the system that we have.
Yeah.
The only time a third party has come in is when it basically replaced another party.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
That's the thing. But it's like, it's just, but... Even, like, as we grew up with them, those parties are no longer what those are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are different parties than we grew up with. And those parties were not what they were when we grew up.
Exactly.
As they were when our parents grew up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Democratic Party was the white man's party, if you go back far enough.
Yep.
You know, and the Republicans basically were the Democratic Party that we knew as kids, you know, up through Goldwater. But...
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to point out, I just got a message from a friend of the show and ours, Anna Levine, saying, for election night... We're watching The Purge, because if things go the way they're looking, that shit's possible. I'd like to applaud Anna and Drew for watching The Purge instead of election results, because, don't get me wrong, The Purge is shitty.
Oh, my God.
It's probably more fun than watching election results.
Oh, my goodness.
That makes me happy.
So yeah, we've got, and I think one of the things that's not actually surprising me about how Reddit is that we have... I heard
Reddit.
That's what I heard too. Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
Well, you gonna look at some memes? What's going on?
Trilbies all over the place.
Cool.
Trilbies for days. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm okay with that, actually. Like, compared to other possibilities, I'll go with Trilbies, actually. Sure. Yeah,
that's fair.
But no, so what we're looking at in politics specifically right now is powerful people chasing after powerful people.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot from Democrats, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, Trump is backed by a lot of big business and this, that, and the other thing. And yes, he is. But if you look at the responses from the working man, you've got a lot of people that are scared for their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's easy for Democrats to fall in this ideal that they've had for so long of, well, we're the People's Party. But nothing that the Democrats have been able to push forward, whether they, you know, they were held back by the Republicans or whatever, they haven't been able to do it.
Yep.
They have not been able to make the strides one would hope for to be able to support the working
class. Well, and the weird thing is, like, in our lifetimes at least, the Republican Party is always in the party of fear. Make you afraid of the other, make mm-hmm. you afraid yep. of, you know, immigrants and people stealing your jobs or terrorism yep. or brown people in general. And in the last few years, the Democrats are doing that too. Like, it seems weird that, like, now the Democrats used to be the party of, like, no, everything's good, we're going to make it even better. And now they're going, no, like, shit sucks now, we'll get through this. And it's like, wait a second, like, you can't both say shit's fucked. Like, then neither one of you gets to be the... You know, and that's kind of
and
the
thing. And that like, actually feeds into the fear thing.
And you know who has stronger answers
yeah.
is the Republicans.
I mean, they might not be able to follow
no, they're not crazy answers, they're crazy, no.
But they're decisive answers.
Yeah. Well, so, because they're putting a label on your fear, which right, people exactly. be like, it's, okay, you want me to hate those people from down south? Cool, I'll hate them.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, that is literally how Hitler rose to power, right. to God win the argument. But, I mean, that is the thing. It's like putting a name on your problem... is better than going, we know we have problems, we'll figure it out. Well, that's not a very compelling platform, and that's kind of what the Democrats have had for the last 8 years.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think you hit the nail upon the top, sir, is that the Democrats are like, yes, we have problems, we'll figure it out, and that's not nearly as decisive as, yes, we have problems, and here's
and it's the fucking Mexicans, or whatever.
And here's this comforting lie.
This knee-jerk solution.
Because
that
a decisive comforting lie is going to feel more comforting. This comforting lie, then. So yeah, and I think that is what we're seeing a lot here is that when we make these calculations, and I'm being by we, I mean, you know, other people, because sure. I'm not that smart, they forget about the people that are not powerful, people aren't asking them.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'll get a sample size, but how many people are actually going to rural Montana to get. Billy Bob Joe's whatever. People aren't doing that. And so you're getting these more skewed estimates because you're not really taking into account the amount of desperation behind some of these people. You know, if an industry moves out of their area, they're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened most of Michigan.
Right, exactly.
You know, or Detroit. Detroit.
And surprise, surprise, you know. Michigan is leaning red if they haven't been declared already.
Yeah. But that's... The funny thing is about that is that, like, and this is the thing that I struggle with sometimes because, like, I'm always the optimist. I truly believe that people are, in general, good and smart.
Yeah.
But when you look at it somehow, when you get to, like, these massive kind of, like, incomprehensible numbers, like an entire country.
Oh, yeah.
You sort of use the same rules you use with children, which is decisive... decisions that, you know, you clear boundaries and those are reacted to and understood better than being a little too wide open and touchy-feely about stuff because it's like, you know what, a kid likes to know that there's a bedtime and there's a time to get up and then this is for lunch and then we go to school and we do homework after school. Like, that kind of thing is like the bridle may chafe a bit and yet if you take away that structure... things get a little loose and wobbly and chaotic. And it's just like, that. We kind of see that same thing happen. And the party that offers structure, which is currently, I think, the Republicans more than the Democrats.
I wouldn't even call it structure.
answers, I guess. But, I mean, it's kind of the same. It's like, if we do this and we stop these people who are ruining your life will get better. And it seems like a very A to B to
well,
C.
They're winning it in basically, because my opinion was basically is that the Republican Party has made it, they can be represented in like a pictograph that can be on Facebook. Because they'll literally have the snippet, I'm going to do X.
It's a meme.
It's a meme.
Yeah, it's a party.
And that's
of
why, because I got this from my mother, because she basically learned everything about this election from Facebook. Because the Democrats
her
could not.
Probably a lot of people.
The Democrats could put their explanation in a paragraph or in an essay, but no one wants to read that.
TLDR.
People want to see people want to see a picture of something, and then I'm going to fight, destroy, and stop something.
You
and that's all I want to win. That's all I want. I don't want to know your long 10-year policy about something. I just want to know Billy Bob's not going to get fired.
Look,
that's
I'm
all I want to know
right now. So, where's my
where's it right now? And that's entirely like that has been like the thing I've seen with so many people that I consider generally intelligent people that they'll reference back to, "Well, I saw this news snippet or this quote on Facebook." Cool.
Sweet.
I'm glad that 10 words convinced you that so and so can do anything or what you want.
Right?
And they have no backing to the statement they make.
So then that kind of drives into media representation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean big outlet media, because they're useless right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, the smaller independents. And any idiot can make up whatever the fuck they want and sound convincing.
Yeah.
I used to work for a company and hated every day that I walked into that office, but they... A marketing company that basically pandered to the idiots. And yeah, you can say an awful lot with should and possibly, and studies have shown one fucking study. Like, you know, there's
carefully couched language.
Yeah.
You can just bold-faced lie.
And who follows up on sources?
Very few people.
Very few people.
Yeah. I mean, number one, if you've got one that cites sources, you're doing better than most, but... you know, then who's following up on it? Okay, well, you follow up on it, and then, like, five sources later, you realize they're all citing each other.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, and that's the whole, you know, this is now a slightly archaic idea, but, the email forwards you used to get, you know, that you sometimes still get from mom and dad, because they're a little behind.
Oh, the Nigerian prince.
You know, but even just the ones of, like... Did you know? And it's like, oh God, like it's an all caps.
All the things that's going to warn me as a woman that I'm going to get attacked in my car. And there's the new trend of like people flashing their lights. Like I still get this from my mom occasionally. Like,
you know, and it's just like,
yeah, like there's been a new trend of a rapist who will sometimes throw a rose at you. It's like,
and
what?
So you send back the link to Snopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a split second of research will demystify that for you. But that split second is more than often gets spent. And, you know, that's why, like, one of the things I love seeing is when I scroll through my Facebook feed and you see whatever thing, and one of the first couple comments is another friend of mine with the Snopes link. Like, I love that. Like, and I love that, like, I have enough friends that go, no. Like, it's worth the extra second to combat
this. Pause for
this
a second.
Lie.
Double
yeah.
check.
You mean, like, every time there's the warning that Facebook is not going to make you, like... Eat your babies and like burn
unless
your house
you
down
post
unless
whatever
you post
bullshit
something
statement
yep. that says I do not give Facebook permission. It's like, oh my God, you guys, like
honestly, if Facebook wants my firstborn,
I know. I mean, like, although I guess she turns 18 in like a month, so at that point I'm kind of done paying for her anyway.
Does she really? Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, January. So.
I'm not okay with that.
Yep, I know, it's fucking weird. Anyway, let's not spend the whole time talking about the election, because some people won't give a shit, and some people live in other countries and won't give a shit.
Or they're looking at us like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the Venn diagram here is very complicated. but yeah, so anyway, to wrap on that, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all going to wake up tomorrow, and in general, we're all just going to go to work and do what we do normally. So if you're not happy with the results, remember that the best thing you can do is continue taking care of the people around you, and then the world will not be so bad.
I might actually move to Canada, though.
There you go. Otherwise, you can always call up Sean Pitre or Chip Lineburner or...
Yeah.
Do we have at least one more person that we know pretty well in Canada?
Another.
I feel like we've got a couple.
I can't remember, but... I'm sorry. I've been drinking boxed wine.
We're drinking boxed wine tonight, by the way.
Because that seemed apropos.
And we're daft.
And we're daft.
But
daft.
There's always Katie down in Australia. Oh. So That actually sounds like that might be
I think they have, like, super restrictive,
How
like...
How far away from here can I get?
Australia's about as far as it gets, really. Okay. That's...
Hey, Katie, you need another lung? Because you can have one of mine. I'm a smoker, so...
She keeps posting cool pictures of cute animals she's playing with.
I know.
It's upsetting.
Right? I want to play with cute animals.
I want her job.
Right?
So... Oh. I probably don't, because I bet there's a lot of, like, poop shoveling. But still, like, there's all these cute little things. She's like, I gave this little critter an apple today. And I was like, I want to give that critter an apple.
Right? There's, like, hobos off 94 you can give apples
They're
to.
They're not as cute as whatever little things the bug eyes
I usually
and the
give them
nose.
McDonald's cheeseburgers. That's it's almost closer. As adorable.
McDonald's cheeseburgers or apples.
Chibos.
McDonald's
Chibos.
Can I get four Chibos?
that's the new I'm slang. I like that's it now. Yep. Yeah. Chibos.
Chibos and fries. Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, though...
Speaking of Chibos and fries.
What? Are we really? Okay.
I don't know. We'll make
it a
segue.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
Holy fuck. I feel like I haven't... I feel like I haven't done one of these in fucking ages.
Yeah, well, because you haven't.
There you go.
Yeah, I feel like it's
Oh, I can't record this week. I have to go record with my other podcast.
No, this has been, like, the busiest theater season for me probably ever. And that's been great. Yeah. It's delightful. But holy shit, will I do things differently in the future?
What?
This is fucking wrecking my ass. Yeah. So yeah, I went from Renfest into...
Wait. Go all the way back to Fringe, because, you know...
I guess technically, yeah. Fringe, yeah. Which led into Renfest, which rehearsals for Masquerade at Bernard's started during Fest.
Yep.
And then Twin Cities Horror Festival started during Masquerade at Bernard's.
Yep.
And then the Twin Cities Horror Festival finally concluded Sunday night.
Yep.
That was November 6th. And so last night, I think I literally had nothing to do. And it was fucking weird. So that was neat. And then tonight it was like, cool. And so I've been, by the way, there are any number of people who I owe like a hangout to because they've been trying to get a hold of me for 3 months.
Right.
And I'm going to try to like, pace that out to like,
you know,
one a week.
I've lived this kind of lifestyle that
sure.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, like, I love my friends. And every time I get into one of those like super busy spurts, I fucking hate myself.
Yeah.
Because I can't hang out with my...
It is really
like,
upsetting.
Can't you make time for me? Like,
Because everybody quite understandably... gets a little butthurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not you.
It's not you, it's me.
And it's not even me.
Yeah.
It's just, it is, you either do your job or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't just blow off a night of rehearsal
yeah.
or performing because we haven't seen each other in a month to go get coffee or get a beer. Like,
right.
That's just not, the world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, ah. And so,
it's,
like, I have neglected
really hard to
multiple
explain.
People for 3 months now.
Yeah, it's really hard to explain to somebody, I'm sorry, this is like my second job.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, but it's art. It's theater.
Yeah,
it's...
Oh, but yeah, but you signed up for this. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, like, just
yeah,
like if you
I did
sign
up for this,
job,
so
like,
support
yeah.
me. Like, what?
It's yeah. tough. Like, it's like I've said, like, Megan and I talked about this, like, I end up losing usually one friend a year.
Mm.
Sometimes shortly after Fest. Because either Fest alone is enough, or I end up doing something else right after that, and it compounds, or just
yeah.
like, I don't get to see somebody for 3 months, and they just kind of tell me to fuck off. And
yeah.
that's just kind of like, I guess that's the cost of doing my job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, Megan and I were worried about the idea of like, okay, what's this going to be like now doing Fest? Because it's like full-time job, all this other shit, then you do Fest, and like, we just don't see each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that'll be an interesting test for our relationship, because that might just be too much.
Right.
And in a totally valid way, that could be. Like, I get that. If, you know, when people walk away from that, I go, I understand, it sucks.
Yeah.
But... at this point in my life, I've chosen that part of my career over most comforts.
Well, and
but
then
I can't drag
like,
someone kicking and screaming along with that with me.
And then you also take into account children.
Ugh, God, like, yeah. And that's the whole other thing. It's like, I don't even get to see them as much as I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And so on the few nights I have free, they're generally carved out for
yeah.
dinner and or whatever it might be, you know, with the weekend with the boy. And it's just like, ugh. And that whole thing gets kind of nightmarish. So far... Yep, she's still here. So
cool.
I don't like being man-handled.
Just making sure you weren't a hologram.
I wouldn't call him a man. I mean, you've been handled, but man is stretching it.
But yeah, no, it's just you know, so it's been it's funny because depending on who you are, it's either like, oh, when you've actually gotten a lot of work, that must be rough.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, but you're right. Yes, I'm very grateful for all the opportunities I've gotten lately.
Right,
but. It is hard.
Yeah.
You know, it is two full-time jobs.
It is work.
Or there's also the, oh, wah, like, I don't get to see my friends enough. It's like, but everybody needs that.
Yeah.
Everybody needs time to downtime to recharge and have fun. And, you know, I've gotten very used to just sleeping in the back hallway at work on my lunch break every day, which is I've been doing for like 3 months because there's just not enough time in the day.
Right.
And so, you know, my boss is just like, have a good nap when he sends me my lunch break. Because he knows I'm going to, like, eat for, like, 5 minutes, go in the back hallway, pull my hat down over my eyes, pass out amongst some cardboard boxes.
And occasionally,
Yeah, exactly. And occasionally really freak the fuck out of somebody that comes out of Banana Republic.
Like,
it's just, like,
yes.
How it goes.
They're just going to, like, start throwing some, like, khakis on top of you, like, blankets.
At some point,
some nice, like, polo shirts.
Aww.
Like, dude, it must have it rough. He's sleeping out behind a pot belly. So,
oh my goodness.
But yeah, no, it's been, God, like I said, I don't even remember. It's been a while since I've been on here. So, to recap, Masquerade at Bernard's.
Fucking
delight. What a great, fun time that was.
Oh my God, yes.
Which again, you know, solidifies my theory that if you ever get a chance to work with Duck, you just say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Because it could not be better.
Yeah.
That show was terrifying because, I don't do Shakespeare. And, no, technically that wasn't Shakespeare. However, it had that kind of language, and there were even portions that were in iambic pentameter, which I've mentioned before, I cannot understand. Also, just it was working with folks that I'd never worked with aside from, like, Lauren. Like, you know, I knew Trevor from Fest, but, like, I'd never worked with anybody except Lauren, and I'm a total pussy. And so doing a show with a bunch of people I've never met is fucking terrifying. But everybody was super kind and super pro. And they put together a really great show, and that was awesome. The experience of that was fucking great.
Yeah. And I mean, I talked about it. I don't know if you were there for it, but I saw it, and it was amazing.
It was really, really,
really
fun.
Fucking good.
It was a really fun show.
I mean, you know, it wasn't, like, super life-altering, but it was such a delightful romp.
It was just, you know what? You got to sit back, and much like the initial movie, you're supposed to just have fun for an hour and a half, and then you're like, yep, that was disposably delicious. You know, it's candy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cupcake. You know, you toss the wrapper and off you go. Like, it was so good. And, like, the thing is like, that there's a place for that in the world. Because not everything has to beat you over the head with a message. And not everything has to be super meaningful and, you know, have some kind of Aesop's Fable thing. Like, you can just go on a crazy romp and laugh at dick jokes. And silly
fucking
things
enjoy
and watch
life
people get bonked on the
half.
Head. And and it was just like, God damn it. It was like the closest I've done to like being in a cartoon was kind of that play.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking delightful.
Oh my God, your douchebag hair. Holy
my
fuck.
My flock of seagulls hair.
That was the worst. That was
I'm surprised I got to do that. Because like, that was like a silly idea I had during rehearsal. And I was like, what if I just did this? Expecting him to be like, haha, that's funny, but no. And they're like, and then I didn't cut my hair throughout the process, so as my hair got longer, it got bigger. So eventually it was like flock of seagulls in the front, like a devil lock, like the Misfits, and then the Wolverine hair on the back got bigger.
Yeah.
And
you
look so
pretty
good.
Douchey.
So
I like
good.
If douche was what you were going for, you fucking won, sir.
It might have undermined the character a bit because that haircut is so fucking distractingly douchey, but like
No, that was absolutely perfect. Because you carried the character the way the character should be carried. So
I suppose.
Yeah.
But that was a really fun show. I got to work with a ton of new people, all of whom were a delight to work with, super pro and super funny and great ideas and stuff. So like that was a real fun show to do. The other thing that just finished that I could probably mention is that we just wrapped, like I said, the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Holy hell, that is still my favorite thing outside of conversions, I think, that happens like annually.
Nice.
It is so much fun, and we got to see so many cool shows. This is your first year, Megan, getting to go see it. Because she's now joined the hot dog family, like Horse Show Hot Dog, Horror Story Hot Dog. So we ended up having, you know, Chip and Charlie both came into town from Texas and Montreal, yep, respectively, which is a delight. I'm sure Chip mentioned that last week a little bit. I haven't listened to that episode yet. But again, having an artist pass means you just go see everything, because why wouldn't you?
Except that I had an artist pass and I couldn't go and see
the thing
anything.
Is, that was the case for, like, Tim Wick, too. He's just like, I've got a pass and I can see, like, one show, because he's working on other stuff. And, like, again, that gets back to the thing we were talking about. But I think we managed to see...
We saw everything.
Every single regular repeating show. Yes. There's some shows that were just one night only. We missed some of those. Depending on that night, we went and had another show. That's how it goes.
Fucker.
You know? But...
I'm fine with you, man. Yeah. That asshole.
But we caught at least one of those. But yeah, in general, those ones we might have missed. Because, again, like, last year when we did the Horror Festival, I was unemployed. So... Yep. When Chip stayed here, we both just would, like, go there at 5 p.m., stay till 2 a.m., come home, sleep till noon, 2 in the afternoon, go at 5, you know, and just, we saw literally everything four times, and it was great. And then this year was like, Jesus. Like, Halloween night, they did all the shows, and then the dance party, so I think...
That was the longest day ever. We both worked.
We both worked. So we worked, then went to the Horror Festival, and I think we left the Horror Festival at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then got home, went to bed by 4, and then got up at 5:45 to go to work.
That was not okay. Was I realized I was very old at that point.
Yeah.
However, we sat there and we're just dancing our fucking asses off. And by the way, while dancing, I'm wearing a Batman onesie. Megan's wearing a Panda Bear onesie.
Yes.
That's what you do on Halloween night at a horror festival.
Right, yeah. Yeah, fucking
And we'd be sitting there both going, like, we're so tired. And we're like, but this song's so good. And it's like, all right, okay, so we'll see what the next song is. If the next song sucks, then we'll pack it in. And the next song will come on, we'll both be like...
And just, you know, onesies are really hot to dance in. Oh, yeah.
Like, so we're sweating just sweating. My balls. So eventually both of us just have our onesies tied around our waist, and we're just, like, dancing. And it was just like... And, you know, it was like, if the next song is good, and every next song was good. And I'd just be like, you know what? This is only going to happen once in our lives. This night happens once.
Yep.
We should enjoy it.
Right.
And we had a fucking blast. But, awesome. So much good shit. And just really briefly, I want to just kind of gush over some of that. Again, Twin Cities Horror Festival in general, if you are new or have not been or not local, it is a roughly 10-day-long festival that happens here at the Southern Theater, where it is, unlike a lot of horror festivals, it is not a film festival. It is a live theater festival. And so it is at least 5 companies, usually more like 8 or 10, doing live theatrical performances. This year, I think there were more like 12 or 14, including the one-offs, doing live horror theater, which could range from anything from kind of comedy, horror stuff, you know, to really gory shit, like the stuff Dangerous Productions does, which was their production Senseless this year, to like weird psychological stuff, like 13 Dead Dreams of Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
The
one that I did with Pavel was basically a horror legend.
You did the, was it Golden?
Golden and Grey.
Golden and Grey, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is one of the ones I missed, because that was a one night. I did manage to see The Not-So-Silent Planet.
Yep.
Yep.
Which was excellent. Oh my God. It's such a good fucking run of people that went through that one. But
yeah, so, like, you get legend, everything. You get gore, you get psychological, you get, like, all
there's
of
a flavor
it.
For everybody. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you get, so we, just to pick out a couple highlights. Senseless, like I just mentioned, by Dangerous Productions. That's Tyler Olson's production company. He's the writer-director for their stuff. That's the one that does, like, old school, and Chip and Manna will yell at me because I'm not going to say it right, even though I kind of know how to say it now, but Grand Guignol, or Rongignon, if you're Chip, because it's, if you say it right and you're French, it sounds like you're deaf. But, but that level of really gory theater, and, fuck. Like, it's still a delight to watch people rip each other's eyes out and tear their necks open and bite off fingers and tongues and things on stage. It's all stuff that you're very used to seeing in film, but is much more visceral when you see it happen live in front of you, especially when the gimmicks are disguised as well as they are. And I really, honestly, the thing I liked this year, because they did a show last year we watched, and they did Itch that I talked about before at the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
This is one that was much more story-heavy, I think, than that
one. Okay.
Very
story heavy. There's still got all the buckets of gore, but they're only in the last little bit.
Okay.
You spend a lot more time just kind of watching a thing unravel. And I really liked that because I love this company and their productions and what they do. But I feel like that gives folks an opportunity to see that they're not just a gimmick. There's not just oh, if we just dump enough gore on it, it'll be good.
Yeah.
They clearly can tell a good story.
Yeah.
And then the gore is a bonus, you know? And so yeah. It was very, very cool to watch that. Our buddy Jay Kistler,
yes.
That we've worked some events with, and I know as a comedian, but I think Megan has only ever seen do horrifying
Yes, because I met him at...
At the Hellraiser event.
Yeah. And then I saw him in Itch, and that was it.
Yeah, and so she's only seen him get ripped apart on stage.
Yeah. So when he was I know him from comedy, and then, like, Aaron Kennedy was like, no, he's really funny, and I'm like, I don't see that thing. That's not a thing. I don't think that's a thing.
We had, there's that, oh, and then, of course, Aaron Shepard.
Who,
everything she touches is magic, as far as I can tell.
Like, I'm pretty sure she farts, like, idealist.
She's essentially a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she did a new production this year. She's the one who did, as I mentioned before on the show, Bird of Seven Colors, that was in last year's Horror Festival and this year's Fringe Festival. Her new one, Book of Shadows, opened this year at the TCHF. And again, just stunning dancing. Like, and it's, again, like that somehow she's found a way to make a guy that gives no fucks about dance theater start going, maybe I should start going to more dance theater.
Yeah.
Because she does it so well, but she also makes it so approachable.
Yep.
That I now go, okay, now I've got my training wheels. I bet I could go see another show and kind of grok it.
Yep.
You know, and truly amazing set. And again, I cried this year watching it again. Like, it's just, it's always that good. It's so good. We had out-of-town performers this year. We always have the Cold Hearts, who used to be local, but are now out of Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yes. They did a... Their Gothic trilogy. Yeah. They did Legend of Whitewind Creek, Edgar Allan, and The Unrepentant Necrophile, one and only for each. And, of course, those are delightful, as you'd expect from the Cold Hearts. But we also had the group that did 13 Dead Dreams of Eugene, right out of Cincinnati?
Yep.
Am I right?
They don't have a... I don't remember. I think it's just... Think Paul Strickland is the
I think
main.
It's just
the, Erica. I can't think of her last name.
And they were, again, super nice people.
Incredibly
nice. We got to meet them and talk to them. But they did a thing where... So much of what they do is done with, like, what was that? Just, like, a stretched canvas?
Yeah, it was shadow puppetry, basically.
Essentially, and so, like, with weird flashlights and like, cutouts of, like, construction paper or something. So they'd be doing a thing, and then they'd run behind a thing, and you'd have a projection on a thing about the size of, like, your average bookcase in the middle of the stage that would have crazy shit on it, and then that would inform the next little vignette they did. And you're like... Oh my god, like,
their
visually.
Use of light and sound was... They used...
It was genius.
I don't even know what that weird instrument slash enhancer of voice sound thing.
Yeah, that it was like a, you know, like an old school phonograph? Like that huge ear horn type looking thing?
Sure.
They had that with, like, kind of like a kazoo attached to it.
Yeah, she used it as, like, an instrument and as just an amplifier for her voice.
It to fuck up your voice. And they used it in all kinds of weird ways. And it was just like, there's so much happening here. That, again, I was just kind of angry because I would never think of these things. You're like, there's too much talent on this.
The way they used that was, I think that was one of my favorite things. The way they used handheld, like, little LED lights that
smart.
Were red-tinted to show when, like, injury had occurred. So, like, if someone was shot, they would use a red light on them.
It was
really inventive.
In a basically black theater. Speaking of a basically dark theater.
Oh, that's right, interesting experience.
We saw the final performance of A Zombie Odyssey.
Zombie Odyssey, yeah.
Which is a one-man show, and it's essentially the guy who is the zombie, and I believe in that fiction is kind of the only one, because he's a curiosity to the people.
It seems like, and it's supposed to be based off the Odyssey.
Yeah,
so,
and so, but it's a man going through the idea of being zombified and whatever. But, and by the way, a lot of dong in that one.
That's a guy unexpected dong.
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, it's a dude, and then the dude, like, quickly swaps into, like, a hospital gown. But, like, so when he's running and flailing about and rolling around, there's just dick flapping everywhere, and I was like, bold move, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
And then Zoidberg again.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Why not Zoidberg? But, we're just like, that's a lot of dick. And, so that was pretty great. And, but the final day that we went to go see that one, power goes out 20 minutes before the show.
Yep. It was a 2 p.m. show.
Whole Southern's in black.
Or 2:30, yeah.
Just only emergency lights.
Oh, my God.
And
the
so
whole
we're
block.
Watching Peltzman and Ball Weber and Fotis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were kind of talking, going, what do we do? What the fuck do we do? All right. Who do we get flashlights? How many flashes do we have? Do we have colored flashlights? And about 10 minutes after its scheduled start time, they start the show with the entire audience sitting in the first couple of rows.
Yep.
You had to push way up front. And because there's no electricity, all the lighting cues were done by people holding flashlights about two rows behind us.
They had a portable speaker and a girl with a laptop. They had a Bluetooth doing speaker the sound. With a
laptop that someone had that they had sitting on stage off to the side
to do all the
cues. And then they just knew when to go click, click, and then white flashlights would go on. And then click, click, they'd go to red. And then click, click, back to white, or click, click, to black. And they all knew the show well enough that they could do it. And then about 30 minutes into the show, of like an hour-long show, and honestly, like you could not have timed it better. No,
it looked like it was natural. The line was like, on.
And that opened my eyes, and like, and all the lights come on. And you're like, what?
Oh my God.
But at the same time, we're like, I want the whole thing to be.
It was so amazing.
Just flashlights. Because it was so cool watching them just like move around trying to follow them with flashlights.
And they were planning on,
they
were going to do the whole day like that. They were like talking to each other, like planning on what, like they were saying, like Fotis' show, he's like, I can do it. I can make it happen.
Everybody was planning to do their show with only flashlights from the audience. And fucking baller. Like that's so cool. Like that's like the best kind of like fucking like DIY guerrilla theater. That was so cool.
So we
saw that show in a way that no one else did except for the few people that were with us, which again, like that and it's a one man show. So that was just a powerhouse performance of that guy just busting ass, going through all the things. And it's a good show regardless. But then getting through all that and getting that and going like, well, thank you for coming to the only show I'll ever have done this way, you know, and it was, oh, it was so fucking good. So yeah, that was a delight. There was, what was the other one that was, there was one more traveling show, right? It was 13 Dead Dreams, Zombie Odyssey.
Sweet Dreams, Alfie was not.
Oh no, Sweet Dreams was local.
Seven Umbrella,
Seven Umbrella did a show that, and I don't want this
hurt
to sound.
So good.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound shitty, but like, this is the, us being pretentious is that like we read the description, it's like, oh, this is an exploration of like depression and anxiety, and you know,
we thought it was going to be shitty and artistic. We're like,
this sounds like some art house bullshit.
Sure,
and talked about like wearing your emotions on your sleeve or something, and like we're like, nah,
and we're like, okay, well, we see everything, and so we went to see it, and about halfway through, we kind of were like, this is really good, and by the end of it, we got done, and we were like, that's uncomfortably close to home. Like, it really nailed.
If you would like to have all your scary parts of depression and anxiety shoved in your face, that's a show for you, because it's real.
I'm glad I didn't see that one.
It's uncomfortable.
It was very hard to watch. And, like, so we both were just fucking floored. And, like, Chippa goes, no, that was pretty good, you know, but, like, whatever. I'm like, you have no idea, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we would talk to other people throughout the festival, and if you are somewhere on that mental health spectrum, people would be like, Jesus. And if you, you know, and so we went up and talked to them afterwards, and we, like, thanked them for it, and they're like, I mean, yeah, we're all dealing with that, so we thought we should do it. I'm like, oh, holy shit, like, well played.
Yeah.
Which is another show that was super creative in their use of staging and stuff with their, they had weird, like, shower curtains that they had on racks that they would move around to create different rooms.
Oh, cool.
In the space, so you could walk over here and sit in a chair, and then, like, the three people would move the shower curtain racks, so it was a small cubicle at work.
And there were those, like, semi-transparent. From behind and
be a co-worker. But you could also spatter blood on it.
So you could see images. It reminded me of Jacob's Ladder a lot.
Yes, yep.
Like, images in the muffled.
It fucked with your head.
Yeah, it was not okay. Yeah.
And, but it was just like, again, that's another one where it's like, I would never think to stage something this cleverly.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it would not occur to me.
Also, that was all white. Everything on the stage was white.
Yes.
Everyone's wearing white. All the props were white. And
literally every single thing.
White.
Pristine, blinding white. And then it gradually gets bloodier. And it's so stark. And it's just, it's so smart. Unless you got more you want to talk about after this, the one last thing I'll point out is I did the Acting Scary workshop with Tyler Olson from Dangerous Productions.
Cool.
Because I'm a comedy guy.
Yeah.
And I did my little bit of drama at the Fringe Festival, and that was fun. And it's like, well, I've never done, like, horror. I don't know how that would work.
Right.
And so he had a workshop last Saturday or Sunday, I forget.
Saturday.
Like, a two-hour workshop. And, holy fuck. One, if you ever get a chance to do any kind of workshop Tyler Olson offers, take it.
Cool.
Because, of course, learning to act better is always good.
Yeah.
And stuff that I learned from him applies broadly to a lot of things. But also, holy shit, like, the level of respect I have for the folks that do his productions has gone way, way up, because obviously they're already good, and they're clearly doing great stuff, but, like, we had 2 hours, And so after a little bit of warm up and kind of like, you know, blah, 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 moving around, it was like, okay, well, so for one of my shows, often we'll start rehearsal with a 1 hour jog. We only have 2 hours, so we're going to do 3.5 minutes. So here's your choices. For 3.5 minutes, you can either run up and down the stairs in the Southern Theater.
Okay.
You can do burpees. You can do like a monkey bear walk type thing, you know, just all fours and run around the stage. Or you can just jump up and down. And you can switch from one to another, but you cannot stop moving. Horror requires you to push your limits. Only you know what your limits are. So go as hard as you can for 3.5 minutes. Go. And he puts on music. And so we're all nearly passing out, just defeated, you know? And then it's like, you know, okay. And then we take a couple minutes to kind of stretch out a little bit. And then we start the next exercise and the next thing. And we go through character stuff. We go through developing, you know, scene presence. We go through, like, we had us all write a 3-sentence horror story about something creepy in the building. And then cut the first sentence. Only deliver the last two to the audience of the other people in the workshop. And then he would show us ways to heighten it. And it was fucking ingenious.
Very cool.
It was so fucking cool. I was just like, there's so much shit there. I was like, oh my god, I want to do this. I want to do more of that. Like, next time I do a thing, I will make sure I do that. Like, it was so fucking good. It's honestly one of the best things ever. Anything else we should mention from the TCHF before we move on?
Four Humors is amazing, and they should win all the awards forever.
I love Four Humors.
Did you guys get a chance to see their
Ubu?
I did not get to see anything. I just love the, like, everything I've ever seen them do is amazing.
And so their show this year was Ubu for President, which is based off a play that was written in 1890.
Okay.
And I say this as a former vilifier, is the most offensive thing I've ever seen on a stage. Okay. In the
Jason's a former vilifier.
He is.
You know.
There is not a sentence that goes by without something awful being said in it.
Okay.
And it is basically, the premise is, Ubu is now president and has just gotten a mandate from the masses and wants the ball. And it's literally just a red rubber ball sitting on one side of the stage. And it's just, it's the MacGuffin. Is that, like, that's what you want. And it's power. It's president. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And ends up with a little cabinet of other people that represent, like, big business and religion.
Yeah, it's big business, military. It's military. Yeah, it's one of each.
But, like, when they talk to each other, it's never just, hey, idiot. It's, hey, you jizz-blinded, star-nosed mole. Like, blah.
It makes you feel dirty. Almost everything it's like, slimy and disgusting.
It is uncomfortably gross.
Horrible.
But wickedly funny. Everything is at the height of your intelligence the whole time.
Nice.
You know, they devour a couple of rotisserie chickens on stage.
So weird.
And you're just like...
I heard about that, actually.
Weren't
there, like, two people that, like, walked out halfway through and they're like, are they going to eat that the whole time?
Yeah,
like,
no. No, it plays its part. But it is wickedly, and of course, very selectively and carefully offensive in just the right way.
Sure.
Brant plays the lead in this one. He plays Ubu.
Okay.
Which means he didn't just bleach his hair. Like, it's white.
Santa Claus
white,
full
white Santa Claus beard.
I'm trying to picture him with white hair.
You would not even know.
Yeah.
I wonder
if I, like, saw him in passing.
If you look around on the Facebook and you see a picture, you will not recognize him. After seeing it the second time, I was like, by the way, I finally figured it out. You are essentially Captain Spaulding from House of 1,000 Corpses having a love child with Brother Ali. And he's like, that is the most offensive thing I've ever said. I'm like, did you just hear your show?
Do you know? Like,
yeah. Pause for a second. Rewind. Go back.
But it was... And that one is, you know, and again, like I said, like, there's a range of what they do there, and that one is wickedly funny.
Okay.
And, just, oh god, it's just, it's so good, but again, Four Humors, that's kind of what you expect from
them.
But, god, there was so much good shit, and there were other things. There was Cinderella or Revenge Tale, which was a lot of folks from, was it Gustavus? No, Augsburg. A bunch of young kids, well, because we're old now, and so it's like you get... this new production from a bunch of young, new, hungry theater students.
Okay.
And, like, awesome. Like, the people are kind of getting involved. You had Severed, Tim Uren's show, with featuring Matt Kesson as one of our characters, which, again, watching Matt Kesson be weird is difficult.
Yeah. You're like, what?
You're so used to, like, when's he going to talk about Godzilla? And, like, no, he just is an incredibly capable, solid actor. And you're like, really, I mean, I assumed you were, but it's weird to see.
See, I've only seen him in Panda, so like, that seemed perfectly in line from what I saw. I was like, cool, guy who's tall with a deep voice.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. You know, but it was just like, oh, so you get to watch that, and like, oh, there's, you know, I'm forgetting, there's Philip Experiment, there's Fotis' show that had good people, like, there's a ton of good stuff. But that's how my last 2 weeks basically have been spent. So that's on the brain. Let's take a quick break because we have drinks we should refill.
Yes,
and we'll probably just come back to more nonsense. I don't feel like we need to worry about format too much. We'll be back with Dr. Zoidberg. If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I don't wanna. I'm Jenna.
I'm Megan.
Yeah.
Megan's playing video games.
No.
Jenna's
drinking.
Filling wine.
I'm drinking. Drinking.
Because Jenna's watching election results.
I got my phone back. That was dumb.
So.
Oh, boxed wine.
Boxed wine. So, before we hit the outro, there's something else we should point out, is that if we're going to spend our night drinking boxed wine, but we're all going to have to go to work in the morning.
I think I'm calling in dead.
I would suggest you might not have to, because there is a cure, and we have the prescription.
Oh, really?
We do. In fact, that is a delicious True Stone coffee.
What?
You may have heard of them. They are some coffee roasters that make really badass coffee. And you can get it delivered to your door. They are longtime friends of the podcast. They've been sponsoring us for some time now. And, in fact, you may have tasted their delicious wares at the Fearless Comedy Party Room at Convergence. Or perhaps you're one of the incredibly smart and attractive
brilliant
people who
talented.
Used the promo code we've got, apropos, or apropos, if you're... Well, us. Apropos. Jeez, a True Stone Coffee. On their website to get a discount on your order of coffee shipped directly to your door. I just got a pound of beans last week, and I can't remember what it is now.
We gave you, like, it was a Colombian or something.
I think that sounds right. I think it was a Colombian.
Yeah, because Salsa was like, pick between the Colombian or the Ethiopian. And I was like, Ethiopian, please.
Yes.
Because they're Ethiopian.
I think I got that one the time
roast.
Before, so yeah.
Oh, God. I love their light roast because there are some places that claim that it's a light roast. And then you're like, what the fuck is this burnt shit?
Yep.
Like, I love a good light roast. And I don't think that I have had better. And I was a barista, and I loved the beans that we sold, but it was the best up until True Stone, honestly.
I agree.
The light roast on the True Stone is just perfect.
So fucking good, because they find the way to pull every other flavor and, like, note out of the beans with their roast. That's so smart. If you would like to get in on that action, you can. And just head over to True Stone Coffee on the web and use the promo code apropos to get yourself a discount and get some delicious coffee beans shipped directly to your door. They come heartily endorsed by all of us.
Yes.
I will be drinking them in the morning to make sure that I don't die work tomorrow. by the way, real quick, don't forget their cold press is fucking amazing. So if you're into that, go for that as well. So, that being said, we're about to the point of the show where we're going to get into some silly nonsense. So, what kind of nonsense could be sillier than perhaps a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Say it. So you say it.
Say Fast Five.
Fast Five.
No, but like better.
But like, Fast Five!
That's cool, I'm not. I don't participate.
You're the worst.
I never got the participation ribbons.
I hate you.
I went around the back corner and smoked with all the cool kids.
I have so many participation ribbons.
All right. So for those of you that might be new, here's how Fast Five works. We get a list of five questions from a listener, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type questions, with no context attached. Our job is to then pick what we think is better for whatever reason, And then we open a second email that has the context and lets us know if we were right or stupid. We are currently
that's
working...
That's the option, right or both. Stupid?
Sometimes I'm both.
Yeah.
Huh.
We are currently working through some really old ones I found when I cleaned out my inbox. And so this one comes to us from Garrick Glickenhaus from October 11th, 2012.
Nice!
It's only 4 years. On that
and
one.
A few days after my birthday. Oh, God, I was so young and...
so full of hope.
Well,
get it?
I mean, if it was 4 years...
Get it?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Question one.
Wine.
Sweet or savory?
Wine. Sweet.
I'm going to savory. I tend to prefer savory flavors at this point in my life.
Same, savory.
Savory? All right. Question two. Snow or rain?
Rain.
Snow.
I like rain better, but if the question is which you hate more, it'd be snow.
I love a nice warm rain.
Oh, those warm rain is the best. Where you can like still play outside while it's raining, that's the best.
Yeah.
I'm going to go rain, hoping it's that.
Right.
All
right,
question three. Tall or wide?
Tall and wide. Tall
close.
And wide. There's a something tall and wide.
I'm going to go tall.
Why?
I have no clue.
Just for the fucks of it.
Just for.
I'm kind of leaning.
Let's
tall.
Just do it.
I'm feeling the tall.
I'm gonna go wide.
Tall, tall.
Question four.
Wide.
Long or short?
Short.
I'm gonna go short.
I'm short.
Thinking of like if someone's gonna tell me an anecdote, I usually hope it's a short one.
I'm gonna go long.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Go long. Go long.
Because of football.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Wine.
Okay. Question five. Yellow or brown?
I don't like any of these now. Because now...
I'm going to say brown.
I'm going to say... Yellow? Yellow.
I kind of don't like either one.
I don't like either of them.
Oh, bananas. Yellow.
Ah!
Yellow
I
want to
take it
brown.
Back. I take back my yellow and I change it to brown. All
right.
Because you just made me think of it.
Well, here we go. Question one. Sweet or savory? Preferred type of pie?
I like sweet pies.
I'm going to land on savory.
It's hard for me to choose.
What's that one salsa makes that's so good?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I can't have it.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I still do like dessert pies. I prefer a dessert pie over a cake at this point.
Right.
But
no, I'm
meat
still
pie
a cake
is good.
Person. But I'm
shepherd's pie.
Just really
shepherd's
like sweet.
Pie.
Shepherd's
like
pie is good.
Pie.
A good chicken pot pie is
chicken
good.
Pot pie.
Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yeah, salsa pie. Is that one? God, it's some kind of like weird salsa, like. So good.
I don't pay attention to anything he does.
Ah, so good though. But yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with savory. Question two, snow or rain, which is worse to be stuck out in?
I said snow.
I feel like it depends
really
contextually, because like,
snow.
Light rain, don't care, super heavy downpour, and you have a long way to go, sucks.
Yeah, that's
snow,
like,
not generally a big deal, but if it's snow where there's already a foot and a half of snow on the ground, you have to trudge through it, sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean towards snow, because that implies it's probably colder.
Probably, yeah.
And I
fucking hate being cold.
Yeah, so I'm going to say snow is probably the answer there.
Yeah. So really, it's not the temperature, it's the participant?
It's not the precipitate, it's the temperature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
That. Question three, tall or wide? Preferred shape for a dresser?
Tall.
And see, I always go with one
I'm
tall,
a wall
one
climber,
short.
Which is weird, because I'm really short. So, like, a wider dresser is probably more ideal for me. But I love... I like taking up less wall space.
And I think that's... I would go tall at this point for that exact reason. I always liked having... I had the lower, wider one that I always had my TV on it and my Nintendo when I was a kid. But at this point, I think, like, thinking about my room right now, I would not want a wide...
Mm-mm.
A wide dresser. Question four. Long or short? Preferred length of shirt sleeves? I'm going to go short.
I like short.
I like long because you can push them up still.
Here's the thing. I like... There are certain shirts that I like long sleeves and certain ones that I like short. I don't like long sleeve t-shirts.
No, I don't like those either.
That's awkward.
They look weird.
I mean, I'll wear those underneath another shirt. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a warm thing. Like, right now at work, I can wear my work shirt, but I can wear another shirt under it if it's long sleeve, and that can keep me warmer. I like that, but in general, I wouldn't just wear a long sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah.
I like baseball tees.
The three-quarter sleeve.
Yeah, that weird three-quarter, which maybe that counts as long? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I love baseball tees. Maybe long-ish. That's just because I'm a child of the 80s, but in general, I would say absolutely short. That's kind of my default. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I generally will wear something short sleeve. I've both, honestly. I like a short sleeve with a long sleeve over it. That's because then I can layer.
Sure. Finally, yellow or brown, preferred type of mustard.
I changed to brown, right?
I feel like I should have said brown. I think I said yellow.
Yeah.
I like brown mustard.
I'm sticking with brown.
Yeah. I like a spice. Like, yellow mustard is good. I'll put yellow mustard on a hot dog all fucking day.
Yeah.
But in general, like, I work at a sandwich shop. We have brown, spicy, like, deli mustard, and that's the shit. And again, I'll put that on a hot dog as well. I think there is room in my heart for both. But if I got to pick the one or the other, it's going to be the brown mustard. So, thank you, Garrick, for your Fast Five. If you would like to send us a Fast Five, you can. You can send an email to matt@aonpodcast.com. Send one email with your options, the second email with your context. And we swear we'll get to them sooner than 4 years from now.
Eventually?
Probably. Mostly, maybe.
We'll get around to it.
We'll see. But that being said, before we get out of here, what do we have to pimp?
This Wednesday, which is either tomorrow or today, probably the today, 9th. Depending on when you're listening to this, I'm doing PowerPoint karaoke.
Oh, fun.
It is, at our favorite location, I believe.
Fantasy Flight Games?
Yes.
They're gorgeous gamer.
Oh my god. Seriously, like, the deal with PowerPoint karaoke at, Fantasy Flight, so you go in, and you buy some food.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're going to be hungry. And you can eat while watching the show.
Yeah. Eat and drink while watching the show.
You hold on to that receipt.
Mm-hmm.
You bring it in. You get a discount on your ticket in.
Yep.
I don't remember the amount. But you get a discount on your ticket in. And then you get a ticket. You hold on to that ticket from Fearless. Because when you're done with the show, you can go shopping at Fantasy Flight Games and get a discount on your game purchase.
It is really double dipping to the end.
Seriously?
It's so
like,
yeah.
The circles know no bounds.
It is really funny to watch people just, like, gradually like, have more boxes under their arm.
Right?
They watch the show.
What are we doing?
For sure.
So, yeah.
Delightful. So that'll be this...
That's the 9th.
Wednesday the 9th at the Fantasy Flight Game Center.
I believe so. I'm double-checking that right now, but I keep getting distracted by elections.
You can always
hit
up Facebook for more details.
Right. I'll verify that and get back to you.
Speaking of things that you can find, we are recording, as I said, on election night, which is November 8th, which, as you might know, is the second Tuesday of November, which is normally when we have a Fearless Lab. Even I am not so narcissistic as to think that I can compete with the election.
Right.
And therefore, we are not having a Fearless Lab tonight. We've moved it to the third weekend in November, which would be the 15th. So next Tuesday, the 15th of November, Fearless Lab returns to Honey. The show is still Pay What You Would Like, because that's how awesome comedy works sometimes. You get a chance to see cool shit for almost nothing if you choose the... There we go. Let's see. Scheduled to perform as I pull it up. Boop, 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 boop.
The PowerPoint karaoke is at Fantasy Flight Games tomorrow, November 9th, Wednesday, from 7 to 9 p.m.
Perfect. So Fearless Lab will be on the 15th. Scheduled to perform this month, Mary Jo Peel from Mr. Science Theater 3000, Patrick LaVon, Nathan Gerber, perhaps with Doom Kitten, Aidan Milligan, and Eric Knight. It's going to be a hell of a night.
Holy shit, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
That's full.
We have lucked out in having some really awesome folks that have become kind of regulars at the lab, and we've also lucked out in the fact that that has been a thing that has bred some new talent and has been a spot for us to meet new performers. So if you want to come be part of that, you can. Pay what you like at the door. The bar and restaurant are open, and you can have a ball with us. The other event that we should point out is... There we go. Funny Money.
Yes.
Fearless Comedy Productions Give to the Max Day event. Give to the Max Day is November 17th. For those that don't know, Give to the Max Day is a an event for nonprofit organizations such as Fearless, where you can raise money throughout the day for your nonprofit organization. I've got a Give to the Max Day page set up. Jenna, I'm assuming you probably
do. I do too. In fact, my only goal in setting up my Give to the Max Day page is to bring in more money than Matt does.
See that. Thank you.
Yeah. That's it. So if you have Spike donations for Matt for not being on the podcast for like forever,
great way to show it.
My page.
Great way to show it.
Yeah.
And so what that is a day for nonprofits to do some extra fundraising and potentially have their money go further. So for instance, we have I believe is it $1,000 that we have?
$1,500. We have a $1,500.
We have a $1,500 matching donation from the Shakopee JCs.
Yes.
So if you head to any one of our Give to the Max Day donation pages, or if you just go to Give to the Max on Google it and find Fearless Comedy, the first $1,500 we raise gets matched by the Shakopee JCs. Thank you to those folks. You can also, any donation of $10 or more is essentially a like a lottery ticket for us as a company. And every hour during the Give to the Max Day event, which is November 17th, they do a drawing from all the different organizations that have registered. And each hour, that drawing goes to someone who has had a donation of $10 or more, and you can win $1,000 for your company. So you can have a chance of someone going, oh, I spent $10, and we actually end up getting $1,000. And I think it's twice during the day they have those tickets are become golden tickets and are worth $20,000. We can essentially double our operating budget.
Right.
Were we to hit one of these random golden tickets.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When you're working with theater at the new kind of beginner level that we are, and with the very, very small budgets that we are, even $1,000 is a huge deal. You know, that is a raise to all the performers in a given show. But sometimes that's enough to do an entire additional show. And so, whatever we might get from this day raised by either the generous donations of people like you or, from lucking out and getting, one of these $1,000, tickets, all that's great. Basically all that gets dumped right back into the company to be used to either, add budget to an existing show we have planned or for that matter, adding a new show. We are getting to the point as a company where we're trying to kind of focus on fundraising with Die Laughing and Give to the Max Day so that the rest of the year we can focus on producing shows, not just constantly going out and trying to fundraise. Because while that is important and necessary, and is kind of the only thing that keeps theater alive, we would like to keep that as minimally intrusive as we can in your day-to-day. So if you are in a position and of the inclination to give us a little bit of your scratch, we appreciate it greatly. We know how hard you work for your money, and we appreciate it. And if nothing else, if you'd like, you can certainly come out and join us during our live event, which will happen on Give to the Max Day. We'll be at the Historic Mounds Theater, the same location that we performed Build Your Own Inferno, and the same place that you can see the upcoming Klingon Christmas Carol.
Klingon Christmas Carol.
And we'll be going from 8 p.m. till midnight in that venue doing a kind of a cabaret of various Fearless shows.
Various Fearless stuff. I believe we're also going to have the photo booth available.
I believe so, yes.
That is my understanding.
So Give the Max Day, November 17th. You can donate anytime, either before or during the day. Before is always better because that gets us eligible for those drawings from the start of the day. But during the day is better. During the day is fine, and at the event is also great. But we wanted to put on some kind of a show for the folks that are able to attend to thank them for donating their money. Now, that said, I think it's a pretty natural segue there for Gemma to talk about Klingon Christmas Carol.
So we've been working on the fight choreography for Klingon Christmas Carol. We're recording a little later tonight due to me having a rehearsal. The Klingon Christmas Carol is, and let me back up for just a moment, because I've been working on the fight choreography, but some of you might not know what Klingon Christmas Carol is.
It's been a while since we talked about it.
Right. So allow me to enlighten you. How would you know? You haven't been on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I've been talking about it since last year's, I would imagine.
So anyway, Klingon Christmas Carol is Dickens' A Christmas Carol done with a Klingon twist in Klingon. Uh-huh. As in, all of the characters are speaking Klingon.
Kapla.
Yes. Just like that.
Yeah.
Only better. Like, a lot better.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Not good.
So, yeah, Klingon Christmas, and you get subtitles, so you know what's going on, but it is all in Klingon. It's written in the Klingon language. I don't... This is nerdy, you guys. Like, look, there's nerdy, and then there's this. It, like, takes nerdy to a whole new level. So, Klingon Christmas Carol is Christmas Carol done in Klingon, with Klingon Christmas Klingon characters, and, like, kind of a Klingon-y theme, more about the honor and the fighting. And I'm doing the violence choreography.
Yay!
Which takes my level of nerdy to, like...
special level?
Like special, yeah. Like, look, I grew up working at Ren Faire. I do sci-fi conventions. I have a computer degree. This is what pushes me over the edge. oh, God, my nerd. Yeah, so there are several Fearless members that are involved with this production. Mm-hmm. We've got Nathan Gerber.
Yes.
We have Angela Fox.
Yes.
We have Don Krasnowski.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kelvin Hetley.
Yay! And I believe, is Timmy Wren involved?
Timmy Wren is directing.
Yeah, friend of the show. Not Fearless show. Member, not, but not one Fearless of the people member, we love but, and enjoy oh, working God. With.
Timmy Wren, every time he asks me for violence, I'm just like, yes, and which way would you like it this time, sir? Like, I just, no, because this is the second one I've done for him, and the first one was, like, just blood and horror, and I creeped myself out, it was fantastic, and this one is like, all right, batliths, and I'm like,
yeah,
fucking yes. So, yeah, it's incredible. Everybody's doing a hell of a job in rehearsals, and I am so looking forward to seeing the final
product. I'm
very excited
to see this one, yeah.
What's fun about doing the fight choreography for this is that one of my fighters is somebody that I've done human combat chess with before.
Oh, nice.
He's my fight captain, and at this point, I've done the choreography, and now he's just kind of picking it up and moving it from here. I've got one or two check-ins, and that's it.
Cool.
So, from the work that I've seen everybody do tonight, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And I have full confidence in Ethan's ability to move them into a really solid fight performance.
Nice.
So, and I've gotten to see the other scenes, too, and they're amazing. So
I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen this. Like, this is a thing that gets mounted kind of annually.
It is. It's annually.
I've never seen it. So
it happens in both Minnesota and Chicago.
Oh,
okay. So, yeah, it's a cross-state. I don't know. That's not... Is that national?
Interstate?
Does that make it national?
Sure, it's national.
Interstate thing? Yeah, it's on, like, a highway. But
it does.
But yeah, so yeah, it happens a couple of different places, but it did originate in Minnesota because we're the fucking king of nerds.
Sure.
It's
too cold to do anything else.
Right? Christmas Carol, fuck yeah, there's snow on the ground, let's do this shit. Throw a batleth in there, it'll be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, that opens in December at the Mounts Theater, as mm-hmm. stated earlier. Tickets are available online right now, so go get some tickets, yeah, I think.
Hit up the Facebook event or
in fact,
just go
I think
to the Mounts Theater website.
Discounted tickets available right
Ooh,
now.
Better still.
So if you're a cheap bastard, and God knows I am,
we all are,
go
yeah.
get your discounted tickets.
And that's
the,
if you've never been, that's a
up.
Gorgeous theater in its own right.
Yeah. Oh, the theater is amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Oh. And it's run by awesome people, as I think we mentioned.
Yeah, and they have like popcorn and booze.
Fuck
so
yeah.
What the fuck else?
So good.
The only other thing I'm doing this month is Vilification Tennis.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm doing the holiday show on Saturday the 26th.
There you go.
It's going to be a little bit different.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, some unexpected vilificationness.
Yeah.
I love not knowing what the fuck is going on with Vilten now. It's actually kind of fun.
Right?
For me.
It's like, whoa.
I went and saw one of the shows last month. I had a fucking blast. It was great.
Tim Wick is going to be out of town.
Oh, so yeah. Shit goes sideways.
Yeah. We're like, Tim's not here. Fuck it, let's play. Awesome. Let's do some shit.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Tim's like, but, and we're like, no.
Nope, all the fun happens when you're not here.
You get out of the state, asshole. So, yeah. Come see Vilification Tennis November 26th, Rent Like Bull. Tickets are probably available.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Anything else we got to plug before we go? We good?
Boxed wine.
We're all good? Boxed wine.
Everybody drink boxed wine.
All right, guys. Fucking deserve it. On that note, we will head on out of here. As we stated at the beginning, it's going to be all right. We're going to be cool. We're cool. You're cool. I'm cool. We're good. Take care of each other. The world's not going to end.
Unless it ends.
But I mean, at that point...
Unrelated to the election, just like cares? If it ends.
Yeah. All right. Have more boxed wine. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Working on it.
There we go. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back at you next week. Until then, take care of each other and eat the fucking cake.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.